Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by James Knowles, Executive Chairman of First Class Metals. Welcome back, James.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, thanks for having me back, and it's great to be speaking to you chaps again.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a... When was it? We last met up would be November at Mines and Money.
Mines and Money, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So obviously, good news this morning. Obviously, you shared the promising outcomes of your first drilling endeavour on the Zigzag property in northwestern Ontario, Canada. The drilling results have not only aligned with, but also surpassed previous channel sample findings, highlighting significant lithium grades, such as 4.3 metres, 1.65% lithium oxide, a notable segment with elevated lithium and rubidium contents. Additionally, critical metals like gallium, cesium, tantalum were identified, adding value to the property's potential. The assay results suggest the possibility of expanding the mineralized zone further along strike in both directions and at depth, with indications of a second geological structure. In response to these encouraging outcomes, the company is preparing to request an exploration permit for extended drilling and analysis. Mark Sale, CEO, expressed excitement over the Zigzag property's burgeoning status as a key lithium and critical metals prospect, exceeding initial expectations and underscoring the need for further exploration to unlock the full potential of this emerging pegmatite district. Sounds like Zigzag is delivering and then some, James.
Definitely. We're absolutely delighted. As you know, we've done that quite a comprehensive grab sample and then channel samples back in late autumn, which produced some fairly significant results, which you never know how it's going to run when you start the drilling. But we're more than pleased with what we've seen to date with this project. Exceeded our initial expectations.
Well, James, everybody has been in anticipation of these results, obviously. So the expectations were probably quite high. But in terms of the amount of money that you invested, obviously you raised the money to put it into the ground to get these results. So as a team, yourself and Mark, are you feeling positive about what's happened?
Yeah, very much so. This started off, as you know, we optioned the property in late 2022 and started work on it after we completed the option in February last year at PDAC. So I think we're just about coming to the anniversary of the of our involvement in Zigzag. And in 12 months, we've took it from a property that had some historical work, which was very encouraging, into one now that we consider to be a true project that's got potential for development in what is now a very much a burgeoning lithium district in the Seymour Falcon Lake corridor up in northwest Ontario there. So yeah, very pleased. It's been a lot of work's gone in the last 12 months. Mark and the geological team have put a significant amount of effort in, and we've seen the results of that hard work now in these results we've just published today.
And just for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about what is around in terms of other lithium producers, etc.
Yeah, just the main play in the area is Green Technology Metals, which is about 15 kilometres over to the west of where Zigzag is. Green Technology Metals are an Australian-listed developer of lithium projects in Ontario. They are looking to build a lithium beneficiation plant near Seymour Lake, which, as the crow flies, is probably less than 10 kilometres from Zigzag. So they're the main player in the area, and perhaps one of the main sort of mid-tier larger junior companies in the lithium space in Ontario. So over to the west, sorry, going off to the east of Zigzag, you've got a couple more deposits. You've got Battery Age Metals, ASX listed company again, who's had some tremendous success this last 12 months, drilling similar pegmatites to what we have. And further north, you've got a Canadian company called Volta Metals, who's recently done a drilling program, which again has produced good results. Everybody in the area seems to be hitting decent levels of lithium and critical metal mineralization, which probably only bodes well. You want to see a concentration of deposits building and growing in the area, because that can only help with future infrastructure and development.
Yeah, and I mean, for those not aware, I mean, you are basically in Ontario in Canada. And, you know, as a mining jurisdiction, this is obviously A1, and people want to be mining in this area if you can find it. So do you think from these results, you're going to have people having another look at you?
Well,
from a zigzag point of view, obviously this is only one of five assets, but yeah.
Definitely. We already had quite a lot of interest in the property prior to these results. So one can only think that with these results being ahead of our expectations for where we'd be at this stage, that those who are interested before and possibly new ones who haven't shown interest today will be coming knocking on the door very soon. That's the objective anyway. We can only think it's enhanced what we had. So we're waiting to see what those inquiries and the follow-ups from previous initiatives come through as.
And Mark Sale's obviously going to be at the mining PDAC. So he's going to be there with details, obviously, of these drill results and on of ZigZag. The interesting thing that came about from my perspective of reading the RNS was all the other add-ons there with the lithium, because there's some pretty damn prospective stuff there in terms of valuations. I mean, you can look at the tantalum and also all the ones you've mentioned, really, when you look at it, the gallium, the rhodium, the cesium, and the tantalum, you know, all have intrinsic values. And I think people shouldn't let it pass them by that 0.2% of something, especially that rubidium, is a huge amount. I mean, if that was gold, that would be several thousand grams a ton, no?
Yeah, we were quite surprised by these extra credits which this basket of critical metals will supply. During the channel sampling and the grab sampling, we did have elevated levels of critical metals, but we kind of didn't expect them to run quite as high as what they've done in the drill cores. As you've mentioned, the significant rubidium, tantalum, cesium, and gallium, which have all got technology metal uses, military applications, chips, semiconductors, all kind of modern technologies which metals of this type are very much in demand for. Both of them are on the USA and Canadian critical metals list, so there's definitely a governmental focus to actually secure supply outside China of this basket. So yeah, it's one of those things which we have to really look to see what the market is, see how we can progress that side of the resource and see what value it actually adds to the overall picture. But this isn't taking anything away from the superb lithium results, though, that the properties are produced as well. So it's kind of an added bonus. It's the icing on the top of the cake that you really don't expect, but it's nice to have.
Indeed. I mean, it certainly is going to add to the economics of the project by the looks of things. So, I mean, as we go into this season of PDAC, and Mark, I presume, is going to be there on the stall. I think I saw your numbers at 3,000.
3,000 is our booth.
And don't forget the raffle. Don't forget the raffle for that nice bit of pegmatite.
That's right.
Not going to be shipped to you if you win it, Kev.
Yeah, I'm going to say we'll have to.
Don't be shipped to Egypt, but yeah, anyway. We discussed before this podcast began, is that maybe later in the year we'll come out and see things anyway. And obviously, with all of the different assets around Ontario, I mean, I think it's very, very important that people start to understand this is not just a ZigZag story. You have lots of other things. So do you want to give us just in 2 or 3 minutes what else is on the table and what are the likely drivers over the next sort of 6 to 9 months for first class metals? Because sadly, your share price has been battered by a seller. And really, you know, the valuation that we're looking at now is probably just ZigZag, really, ultimately. You know, if you manage to get some sort of deal going with ZigZag, then that's going to be near enough to full market capitalization as we stand. So it seems ridiculous, but there are so many ridiculous stories out there in terms of the valuations of these small miners that I think it's good that people see what else is in the stables. So give us an idea, James.
Yeah, well, 2024, we'll follow up from successful field campaigns we had in 2023, particularly on North Hemlow, which is the flagship property. In 2023, we tried to further extend the 4.5 kilometer dead otter trend that we have, which we had the 90.9 gram gold discovery back last year, which was, I think, from memory, the highest grade gold discovery on the north limb of Hemlow to date. So we've got quite a lot of work there to extend that to delineate it and to try to get some interest in that 4.5 kilometers, possibly from industry, etc., and do some channel sampling and then drilling on that trend, which one hopes when we get that done, the location of that, so close to Barrick Hemlo, the enigmatic 23 million ounce gold mine in Hemlo, you'd like to think we'd get some eyes on us if we can develop that further. We've had a particularly good start there. It's a case in 2024, it's just taking that to the next level and pushing that on. So that's North Hemlo, which is a vast 90 odd kilometer square plus project, and North Dead Otter, which I've just mentioned, is in the south of the property. And then as you track north, you go into north towards West Pickle Lake, where the nickel discovery is that we have on joint venture with Palladium One. We maybe don't expect a great deal of activity by Palladium One in that area in the coming few months, possibly due to their own permit issues and so forth. But it is an area that gives us an interest ourselves on the western side. So a bit of work on that this summer as well to further give us a deeper understanding there and make that more attractive for potential acquirers or people who want to partner us, possibly. As you know, Lady One have been under some investment from Glencore, which we announced last year in 2023. It would be nice if we could attract a partner ourselves into that part of the project. So North Hemlo, it would be good to do some further geological work, give us a greater understanding of it, perhaps a small drill program on the Dead Otter trend at some stage, and then look for options, look to see what we could do with the property on a corporate basis. South of North Hemlo, we've got the Esther Gold property, which just sits, it doesn't sit quite in the shadow of the headframe of Barrick Hemlo, but in a decent walk in an hour or so, you'd be at Barrick's mine from Esther. So it's ideally located. There's a 4.5 kilometre long shear zone that we've identified through geophysics, soil sampling as well, which has given us quite a lot of data. ESSA had some stripping done on it in late 2023, just before it started snowing. We didn't really get time to do any serious sampling on the areas we'd stripped because the snow came in. So there'll be some follow-up work on the ESSA property at some point when the snow melts and we can get on there. And again, ESSA's ripe. It is ripe for a drilling campaign, and it's ripe for monetizing through some form of a corporate transaction of some description. I'm sure the position of it, the location, the results we've got to date would make that an attractive property for a major gold company. So that's the aim with many of our properties, is to prove them up and ultimately move them on. So that's North Hemlo and ESSA. If we track across going over to the west, past Thunder Bay, over to Sunbeam, which is the historical gold mine that we've been working on this last 18 months. Sunbeam was a past producing gold mine of a ridiculously high grade, which ceased in the late 1800s. By 1890, early 1900s, perhaps it stopped producing. We don't really know the reason why. It was probably due to water ingress, and the very remote location back in the day made it uneconomical to continue. So Sunbeam is the project that we did the channel sampling on. We got some particularly good gold grades from the channel sampling from two areas, from the Roy area and the Pettigrew area. And those, again, are now ready to be drilled at some point in 2024. So Mark at the moment and the geological team are putting together a program for the coming year. And Sunbeam's very very much on that for an FCM drill program in the coming 12 months. So we'll have to wait and see what plans he has and where he's actually going to start, but I'll be looking for a lot of activity in 2024, and I'd like to see one or two drill programs on FCM property in the coming field season.
Good. James, if you had to choose, obviously we can't choose our favorite child, but which one would be your favorite child?
It's always a tricky question, really tricky, to be honest. I'm particularly, Zigzag is the kind of the one in focus because we've had the results out today, which are excellent. But from a company transformational perspective, you're asking me now, guys, I'd probably say North Hemlo. I think if we could get some further encouragement.
So here's my follow-up question.
Go on.
If somebody came and offered you 3.25 million, which is your whole market cap for North Hemlo, would you take it today?
You know what, Kevin? I don't think we would. I'd see more value in it. It's one of those projects that if we just added a bit more work to it, got a slight bit more encouragement, I think we'd be looking at much more than that. It's one of those which has got some real potential. It's in the right area. As I said, we've got a 19 gram plus sample there, which is the highest ever recorded. And I really do think a bit more work on the ground there, perhaps a short drill program, actually hit something decent. I think 3.2 million or whatever you just mentioned would be a figure that'd be too low at that stage. But hey-ho, there's a lot of work to do. But no, I think it's got more potential than that for sure.
Good. And I mean, you have quite a few children, obviously. So, you know, let's see how the market responds to this news with Zigzag. I think personally, it's great news. And there's some seriously good kickers there as well. So,
it definitely is. We certainly have a lot to look forward to in the coming 12 months with four projects that I think any junior company would be more than happy to run as a flagship. So, yeah, a lot of choice, but a lot of potential at the same time. So, yeah, we're very much looking forward to the coming field season and developing these assets further and realising some true value from them, which isn't reflected in the market cap at the moment.
Yeah, and as we've said before, it's very much, you know, this play as a company is taking those projects up the Lausanne curve. You know, Zigzag itself hasn't cost you a lot of money. You know, you've maybe invested $300,000-$500,000 into it, including purchasing it. And for sure, it's worth significantly more.
Well, so, definitely.
This is what you're trying to do, yourself and Mark, in First Class Metals. And people have to understand that there's going to be projects come and there's going to be projects go. And the whole point is taking them up that Lausanne curve. Mm. And you know, from that perspective, you know, already with Zigzag, you've achieved that objective. You know,
definitely. I think today's results just emphasize that, Kevin. So, yeah,
so point also mentioned about the preparing requests, the exploration permit for the extended drilling and analysis. Well, just talk us through what that process involves and, you know, for the preparation and potentially how long that can take and, you know, the next steps for Zigzag.
Yeah, well, Mark wants to actually add in a revised exploration permit, which will give us the opportunity to work on the identified southern trends, which the current permit doesn't actually have any coverage upon. The current permit, from memory, mainly covers the strike of the where we've been drilling at the moment. So the new discovery or the new area of interest, the southern zone, didn't actually have any stripping or drilling allocated to it. So what will happen is Mark and the geology team will prepare an application which is submitted to the Ontario Ministry of Mines in conjunction with the local First Nations, which is White Sand First Nation up in that area. We'll have some consultation with the First Nation, speak to them about it, explain what our plans are. And once we've got their acquiescence and their approval for what we're going to do, we will then further with the Ministry of Mines. This process does take a few months, but we probably can't get onto the ground to do this work until it's quite northerly Zigzag. So it's probably going to be in May, early May, mid-May. So there's plenty of time to get this process in action. And as it's the great relationships Mark's created with the First Nations and the way we'd approach this, you'd like to think we'd have a relatively straightforward process in getting this through to consultation and ultimately approval. But it does have a step-by-step process Apollo first, though, which probably take a good few months.
Absolutely. Well, I think we'll wrap up, to be honest, James, on that note. I mean, I think it's becoming more apparent that after today's news that the Zigzag property potentially presents a compelling investment opportunity for investors, obviously beyond confirming the high-grade lithium and the discovery of the critical metals that we've talked about, you know, tantalum and gallium, rubidium, cesium, you know, tantalum being vital for technology, semiconductor, and obviously the defense industry positions the company First Class to potentially disrupt the global supply chain currently dominated by China. And as you alluded to earlier, you know, rubidium's price exceeding $3,100 per ounce. And, you know, the economic potential of these metals enhances the project's value. So you look set for further exploration, which offers investors a chance to engage with a project that not only targets lithium, but also taps into those critical metals market, marking a significant step forwards and obviously diversifying and strengthening the critical metals sector. So thanks for coming on, James. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, we wish you good luck in the future. And, you know, can't wait for you to come back on and give us the next news update.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, guys, and thanks for having us. And just like to probably finish off by saying we think Zigzag's the right property in the right location and maybe the right time for what it's going to bring for the company.
Yep, indeed. I think lithium has hit the bottom, and it seems like there's been movement in the Chinese price in terms of lithium, and a lot of big players are starting to position themselves in lithium. So yeah, now might just be the right time.
Definitely. Cheers, guys. Thanks for your time, and let's catch up again soon.
Cheers, James.
Cheers.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.